हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौघुनक्तु स्वाहवेयङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 37. 7-9. I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am that heat. I am the heat and fire, and I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all aesthetics. Okay. So explain how Krishna consciousness is active in every sphere. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance, as a flavor and fragrance in a flower or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor, which permeates everything, is Krishna. Similarly, everything has a particular taste, and that taste can be changed by the mixture of chemicals. So everything original has some smell, some fragrance, and some taste. Vibhavasu means fire. Without fire, we cannot run factories, we cannot cook, etc. And that fire is Krishna. The heat in the fire is Krishna. According to Vedic medicine, indigestion is due to a low temperature in the belly. So even for digestion, fire is needed. In Krishna consciousness, we become aware that earth, water, fire, air, and every active principle, all chemicals and all material elements are due to Krishna. The duration of man's life is also due to Krishna. Therefore, by the grace of Krishna, man can prolong his life or diminish it. So, Krishna consciousness is active in every sphere. So here again, we're getting back to the essential point that makes everything function. So this functioning here, then, we see, so in the original fragrance in the earth, because from the everything has an original flavor, has an original taste. So that's Krishna, right? Like that. Of course, means now all these ones that are being mentioned are ones that can be easily understood and appreciated because you're dealing with, you know, that original nature. Other things will mean that you're taking that and then doing the inverse, right? Like there's the front of Krishna, which is religion, but the back of Krishna is the source of irreligion. Right? Not that he's irreligious, but just it has to come from somewhere. Right? So the natural elements and all that, the potency of it, that's Krishna. Right? So then what we have to see is that it doesn't function without it. That's the point to get. Just like the heat in the fire. If there's no heat in the fire, then you can't digest things, you can't run a factory, you can't cook. Right? If you have fire and it didn't make any heat, you know, I mean, it would look nice, you know, like that. You know, everyone would have it on the coffee table like that, nice little fire burner like that. You know, it would look great, you know. You could put it on the mantelpiece maybe, or...
You can get it for the TV, like DVDs with fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah? Okay. Cool. Yeah. Like that. So that's fire without heat, right? You know, so it looks nice, but, you know, that's about it. So all you're gaining from it is the form. Right? Because sight comes from fire. Right? So you get the form of it, but you don't actually get the heat. So the essential point is the heat. Because that's what, you know, is considered important. Like that. The life of all the lives means that someone's living, but the reason that they're living is because of Krishna. Krishna establishes the life, how long the life will be. Right? So if you're more pious like this, then you can extend it. You're less pious, then you can shorten it. Right? Like that. Like I think it said that of all the occupations in the world, that the most dangerous and short-lived of any occupation is to be a gang member. Like that. So that is, you know, I think it's an average lifestyle, or either it's an average or maximum, I'm not sure which, but of 2 years. So it's quite short. You know, even in the army you have these old, you know, 60-year-old generals and stuff like that. They somehow or another survive. You know, and they've been on the battlefield, they've been out there, but these guys it's 2 years and that's it. You know, so. Like that. So it's a matter of what you're doing, your piety or not, then you can extend or not. But that's still based on Krishna. Like that. Yeah. So what we're establishing here is that the jiva and the material energy are subservient to the Lord, because it's Krishna is the greater one, he's the controller of it, he's also now in this case he's establishing he is the essence of it, right? So there's nothing in any way that Krishna is not the central, or you know, the greater element of it, the greater position, the greater control, like that. Does it make sense? So we're trying to change our vision from is simply we see matter, and based on our particular values and what it is we want to accomplish, then we give importance to what we're perceiving. Right? It has to be that what we're perceiving is Krishna. And then the practical application of what we perceive in Krishna's service, then you have apply the values. Does that make sense? But because Krishna is what we're being seen, we adjust these values to be in line with Krishna's values. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you say that this is the function of intelligence that you're working now
on? Yes, intelligence. So because Gita, what is presenting, is it's giving all the yoga systems, but it's presenting by combining them in Krishna consciousness, then this is what we call buddhi yoga, you know, the yoga of intelligence. So that's being designated as separate, because we could say, well, jnana yoga means intelligence. But jnana means to see a specific aspect, you know, with the intelligence. Right, just within the area of intelligence, so you're kind of neglecting the mind, the senses, like that. So, but buddhi yoga means it's intelligently done, in that whatever is required, right? When you're dealing with activity, then you're doing that with intelligence. You're dealing with intelligence, you're intelligently using that, you know, in connection with all these others. The mind is being engaged, you know, focused on the Lord. So body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service. So when that's being done, you could say, in the way as Vaidhi, then you would consider this buddhi yoga, right? It means the same principle will be applied, but with time one becomes more comfortable at it, and so then it would be you would consider that raganuga spontaneous, right? Does that make sense? But the element within the sadhana bhakti is that you're trying to establish that whatever is the situation, that you find a connection to Krishna and engage yourself in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So it is. So intelligence is the most important. So that's why Prabhupada is always focusing on the intelligence. Right? It means the aspect of absorbing the mind in Krishna is there, but it's through intelligence that we're actually going to do that, or through intelligence we're actually going to, find the position to endeavor from. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because, in other words, we kind of miss the window for just hearing about Krishna and just completely surrendering on the spot because he's just the most attractive and there's nothing else of interest within the material realm. So we kind of missed that window. So that not happening. Then the next is to follow the rules and regulations and all that and use your intelligence like that. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that by doing that, the other one won't come, the opportunity won't arise again. But it'll arise based on our understanding that there's nothing here, and then the taste of Krishna consciousness is so much better. So ruchi means is that the taste for Krishna conscious activities is noticeably greater than anything for the material. Right? So therefore, one just naturally and very quickly drops the material taste. Right, because it just doesn't have it. You know, it's just like, let's say, one has, you know, as a kid, there was something in wherever you were, you know, in that environment, there was something, you know, special that you consider as a kid to eat, right? And so, but then, you know, one's moved from that and moved on, and one's not there, so it was just there when you were small. Then, you know, you've grown up and that and, you know, become more developed and sophisticated and everything. Then somehow now there's an opportunity. Either you go back to that situation or someone comes from that situation. And, you know, remembering that you like that so much, you somehow or another, you know, it's arranged that that item of eating is there. So now, much of the time you find that when you eat it again now as an adult, it doesn't quite have the same draw, you know, that same ecstatic, you know, element, you know. So then, so that's the point, is that it's not that, you know, you continue, it's just like it doesn't have any interest anymore. And you're able to drop that. Otherwise the mind is always thinking, yeah, it was good, it was great, we were like that, you know. But then you find out, no, it's not so good, you know. You know, and then it's this kind of, okay, it was a childish thing, but, you know, it was fun. You know, it doesn't mean that it'd be like that. Does that make sense? So, point is that with ruchi, then we see is that the idea that we'll be happy in the material world and whatever we define as happiness that we're gaining from it, then is not actually that developed, you know. Not having any other alternative, then it seemed great, you know what I'm saying? But now having an alternative, then there's not much draw or attraction. So very quickly any material taste is given up. Does that make sense? So then one is able to take advantage again. But the point is the mind, because it just becomes attached to something, right? And it's not necessarily intelligently applied or logically applied. One wants to make sure that all options of the mind becoming attached to the material energy is removed. Right? So that when one comes in contact, what I mean by that constant contact with Krishna, then we will be able to appreciate that taste in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? That's why we avoid all these other tastes, because they have a tendency to be quite overwhelming, because they seem to encourage the concept that I can be the controller and enjoyer. You know, it's possible. Like, it happened for that moment, why can't it happen again? You know, like that. But no, there's just these moments that are here, like we discussed yesterday, where just when you're about to drown in frustration of, you know, the material endeavor, then Maya gives you that moment so that you're refreshed in your enthusiasm, like that. Right? Because something's only learned through endeavor, right? Like that. Endeavor means you're either contemplating it or you're doing something, right? You're either thinking about it, you know, observing it, involved in it yourself. So first class is by hearing, second class by seeing, third class by being involved. But all three of those require enthusiasm. So if you're so disturbed by the lack of, how you say, results or return from your material involvement, then and one doesn't have a taste in Krishna consciousness, then one will give up and do nothing, right? And so then that won't be progressive. You can't learn from that. You know, it itself, of course, is a kind of suffering, but at some point someone has to come out of that and become active again. How do you know that the person is, you know, finished with his, you know, slumming around, you know, how you say, term in his, in that situation? It's when they become active. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense? So the point is that she keeps one, just brings one to that point, and then does something so that you become active, because it's only when you're active can you learn. Because then that inspiration is supposed to be used in Krishna consciousness. But since we won't, therefore then, you know, there'll be, you know, an ocean of suffering for that little drop of, you know, nectar. Like that. But as we take up Krishna consciousness, then we see that you can have a majority of everything's very nice because you're using it properly. Like that. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that materially everything's going to be perfect. That's the, you know, you know, always looking for that best of both worlds, kind of like that. But there is not two, it's not that, you know, the real world and then the reflection in the mirror are actually two worlds. There's only one world, right? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, that's we're not making any inferences that Star Alliance is bad, right? You know, so the thing is there's only one world. The other, that there's a second world, that's an illusion. Right? The reflection in the mirror isn't actually a world. Like that. Maybe if you've snorted enough cocaine, it becomes a world, and then you document it in a book called Through the Looking Glass. But other than that, then it's not real. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
I can understand in the material world how the real world, the physical world that we're in, and then the world that we see in the mirror is the same. But just, I don't understand, it seems to me, like, we're not doing what we're doing here in the spiritual world.
No. Reflection means that it's based on the same principle. It's not exact. The point is Mother Jashoda attached to her child? And what does she do for the child to express that attachment?
Serve them very nicely.
Yeah, but in which ways?
Taking care of his needs, making him hot milk.
Yeah, yeah. So feeding him, dressing him, bathing him, seeing to, you know, anything else he's taken care of, making nice arrangements, making clothes, making situations. So do mothers here do that?
Yeah.
But is it real here, technically? It means the body's there, the kid's there. But the point is the soul doesn't require any of that. So it's not soul to soul, so it's not real. It's body to body. You understand? And the soul isn't actually doing that activity. The modes of nature are doing it. You understand?
Well, in theory, I hear you.
Yeah. So this is why Buddhi Yoga is used, because the mind doesn't grasp it very easily because of attachment. You know what I'm saying? Because we identify with it, therefore we get the feelings. You know, it's just like we can say, so that makes it real. But you watch a movie, and if you can identify with the characters and what's going on, there's feelings. So is that movie real?
No.
No. Means there were real actors, but what's presented, that's not real.
And yet you're feeling.
That's the whole point. So that's what we're saying, is that parent and child interaction is basically just a little bit, you know, less removed than a movie. Because the soul and the other soul, it's the bodies, these bodies and the modes of nature are controlling. You desire to have experience that kind of attachment, the modes of nature arrange it.
Wow.
It is, isn't it? That's what's going on. But because we identify with it through the senses, then we think we're part of this, just like we think we're part of the movie.
Yeah. So sometimes when you're giving the examples, and I'm thinking, but if somebody's going to cut me with a knife, I'm going to feel it.
Because you identify with it.
I have no choice, do I?
Yeah, you could, like Haridas Thakur, he just thinks of Krishna.
Yeah, that's a hard one for me too.
Yeah. But the point is it's...
In fact, I pray Krishna, please, you know? No marketplaces.
Yeah, okay. At least not 22 of them, right? Well, it depends on whether you're being beaten or you have money and you're buying things. 22 markets are okay. Went through the austerity of shopping in 22 marketplaces. It was a tough one.
So somehow we can use the example of Srila Prabhupada, who we hear at the end, actually his body was in a state where there should have been excruciating pain, and yet...
The point is even if that means because there's a connection there, but it's not yourself, so you can perceive it. But it's just a matter of what is the value there. And so therefore, it's not that it can't be perceived. The point is that's not important. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, or you give an example of, because the consciousness is somewhere else. Let's say... something happens, there's an accident, and the car is on top of the kid. Okay, so you have this, you know, petite mom. She walks over, runs over to the car, picks the car up, and moves it. So does she notice it weighs a lot? No. But does it weigh a lot? So why doesn't she know it? Why doesn't she notice? She's absorbed in something else based on relationship. So the point is, when you're absorbed in a relationship with Krishna, then what's here doesn't really have much significance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all that baby money.
Yeah, well, that's why all those songs are there, right? But the point is we have to accept that. You understand this now? Just take this few minutes. When we gave the first example, it was quite far away. Right? And then as we kept going with it, then it's like, okay, when will I have that? You know, you could relate with it. So that's why this constant association with Guru Sadhu and Shastra is there. So that we come to the point of focusing that, yes, there is nothing here. That whatever is real is actually there. You understand? That's the idea. Like that, because we're determined. No, there's something here, you know, a little something here, there, somewhere, you know, like that. And because of that, that's what holds us back. When we give that up, so that's what it says. The gopis, they saw Krishna, and it's just they just dropped every idea that there's anything else. And so then they just immediately. So that's why it is possible to do in a moment. But if you don't accomplish it in the moment, then Krishna recommends, therefore follow the rules and regulations of the Pancharatra. You know, so you associate with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting, worshipping the deity, all those five main elements are being done in a regulated fashion as opposed to being done in a spontaneous fashion from the Bhagavat platform. So like that, that's right. But if that doesn't work, then you work for Krishna. So you consider your conditioned nature as a, you know, quite a prominent element, but the work is being done for Krishna, so it's still sannyas. But he says, if that doesn't work, then the next one is renunciation. And so it's your work, your attachments, all this, but you give the results to Krishna. Like that. So it always just keeps, you know, means coming back, but the idea is that it can be, it just goes further and further into our material needs, right? But the idea is that if that connection to Krishna is there, then that knowledge and that detachment will come that will gradually move forward. Does that make sense? Because we talk gradually because we think one lifetime is a long time. But we look at, you know, who knows how many lifetimes that we've been in the material existence. It's not much time at all. So that's why it just says it's a, you know, something very quickly, very simple, easy. And we're going, why do they talk it so simple and easy? It's because if you see the bigger picture, you know, a 100-year lifespan, and then you can go back to Godhead. Well, you know, the sages, you know, they live for millions and billions or trillions of lifetimes like that. And then that's just one lifetime and a whole, you know, string of lifetimes, you know. So it's such the quickness that something can be done here is very great.
Yeah. But it's also by Krishna's mercy. I read that actually it's by Krishna's mercy. Ultimately, the realization is not by what you're doing, but Krishna will
yes,
be
sir.
Merciful and yeah. open up.
Yes, but the what means what you have to add in that equation is Krishna's mercy, not by what you're doing, but what you are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's what we were discussing a few days back, is that we have the tendency to think the activity itself is the devotional service. No, that's the expression of the devotion. The devotional service is the attitude to please Krishna. Like that. So when you have that attitude consistently, he can show his mercy. Because if it's not consistent, how much mercy can you show? You know what I'm saying? If you're attached to the material, environment, and Krishna gives you knowledge and detachment, you won't be satisfied. You have to actually be convinced that it's not and want to be more and more closer to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, it's no big deal. Like, you take a small child, you know, you have the 4-year-old girl, and you give her a Louis Vuitton bag and, you know, those Christian Louis Vuitton shoes, right? Okay, you're not going to get better than that, right? The supermodel would be in ecstasy with that. But does she care? No. Like that. So that's the whole point, is Krishna can be merciful to that degree that we are surrendered. That's why as we surrender, he said he can reciprocate. So he's waiting to reciprocate. The problem is we're not waiting to make the endeavor. So that's why Prabhupada say, if we take one step, Krishna will reciprocate with 10. But we still have to take the one. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like the guy is praying to God that he'll win the lottery, right? And then he keeps praying and praying and praying. He's been going on. And one day he's saying, you know, God, I've been praying to you for years, and you've never, you know, allowed me to win the lottery. And I mean, everybody else is winning in that. And God then says, yeah, but when are you going to buy a ticket? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Same. It's the same principle. Unless you make the endeavor, because we just say, God, make this happen, but you have to make the endeavor, because the endeavor is the expression of that desire. You know what I'm saying?
We call giving everything up and moving into the ashram with the endeavor, and then we.
Yeah. So that is. No. But that is the endeavor for that day. What are you going to do the next day? That's the point. So every moment there's an endeavor. See, we have, due to motive ignorance, we have this idea that I'll do something once and then eternally it'll give results. But it doesn't work like that. You know, you do something once and it you know, you have to keep working. This is just thinking about it, you know, the last few days. This is the meaning when it says, nasundarim. You know, because it's kind of like some of the ladies go, you know, why am I saying I don't want beautiful women? But the point is sundarim means opulence. And we have this idea from the masculine point of view, I'll do something once, and then the feminine element will just respond eternally with gratefulness. Like that. It, you know, it's a common illusion amongst the men. And the women are kind of like, well, that was yesterday. Now what are you going to do today? You know, you want me to smile, do something, you know, like that. So that's the whole point, is we're dealing with Krishna's potency, his energies. And we think, I'll just do this service, and now the internal potency should just shower blessings eternally. But that's the Purusha mood, right? The feminine mood, one knows, is that how you endeavor is how you'll be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you please the senior lady, and she's nice. You don't please, it's not nice. Right? So if you please, you're dealing with Yogamaya. You don't please, you're dealing with Mahamaya. Right?
And how about when you're saying a prayer and you realize that your heart's not really there?
Yes, so then make it there. All you have to do is do it. It's not a matter of, oh, I can't do it and this and that, because then that becomes the identity. Oh, I'm the one that can't do devotional service, so therefore. So how does Krishna reciprocate?
No, like when we're saying, you know, I don't want wealth, I don't want, and how about, like, really, you know, you're poor and you really do want some money.
Yeah, no, but the point is that, but the point is what do you want money for?
Well, okay, yes, because you have made that point quite often. It's not the activity so much as the need. And
that's the point. So if you want the wealth for Krishna, but that's a different prayer.
Okay.
You understand? One is that some money is required to be able to perform the basic, you know, services and other things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The idea that money has a value other than in connection with Krishna, that's what's being given up. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, you know, no women, but it's like the spiritual world, all it is women. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the point. It's the idea that I will get enjoyment from money or women or fame, you know, or followers. That's what you're talking about. So that's a different prayer. You know, like that. Because the point is you need some facility. Who else are you going to go to?
Absolutely.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I remember one time from Philadelphia, it said, called Noon Nilachalaman. And I went before Lord Jagannath and I said, you know, we're not supposed to, like, you already know what we need, and we're not supposed to ask you for things that we need, but you know what? I'm not there yet, and I really need this. And he gave it to me that day, you know, and I was like, thank you, you know. It was like quite a weight off my shoulder to like have to like force myself into this level, on this level where I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing, oh, I have nothing to ask.
No. But it's two different things. Is the due to the mode of ignorance, we have a tendency to apply the wrong aspect of intelligence to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Means where we should be seeing the difference, we see the commonality. Where we're supposed to see the commonality, we see the difference. Does that make sense? So, in here is that just because it's money doesn't mean it's the same thing.
Because of what we want to do.
Yes. The point is there is the one aspect is that I don't want attachment to money, thinking that I'm going to get some material benefit from it and therefore be happy and that way separate myself from Krishna. That's one thing. Another one is that money is required for doing service. So you know, how is that going to come except by Krishna's grace? But they're two different things. You know, so that's why in the analysis of the philosophy, then these fine points are separated. That's all we're doing all this time, is separating these points. You know, because otherwise, if you say for most devotees, the activity itself is the devotion. But technically it's the expression of the devotion. So the two go together, is that the mood can't be expressed without form. So you count the two as one, because that's the platform of rasa. But technically, they're two different things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the advantage is that, yeah, the advantage is then anything can be connected to the Lord. But then the problem is then when it gets to anything, if it's outside our sphere of values, then we consider that can't be connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the brahmacharis, they'll think that, you know, being a grihastha and all the, you know, interaction of the family can't be connected to Krishna. It's all maya. And the grihasthas think, you know, that the brahmacharis, you know, being renounced and that has no value because they're not being honest. Let's get real, Prabhu. You know, so all that kind of stuff. So this is all coming from one's own conditioned values that has nothing to do with reality. The point is we're not accepting when we say anything, everything's Krishna, everything can be connected to Krishna, we don't accept it. Because what we mean is that everything that I'm doing can be connected to Krishna, but anything anybody else is doing, now that's up for my judgment. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the idea of going through these things. Then slowly, slowly we see actually what's real. You know what I'm saying? Just like discussing yesterday. Nutrition can be connected to Krishna, but nutrition on its own doesn't actually have any real value. You know, does that make sense? But we'll take it that things that are more towards the mode of goodness, that they have inherently a good value, a goodness in their own. They stand in their own right. You know, equality and, you know, fraternity, liberty, you know, organic tea, and, you know, all these different things like that, that they're all perfect in themselves. Does that make sense? But they aren't. They're just nicer material facilities. That's all. Because otherwise, if we take that attitude, then that means the heavenly planets, because only through piety you're there, then it's not really a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? But we'll say, no, yeah, there's demigods, there's the sense and joyers and all that. As long as it's not, we don't have it. You know, but if we somehow have to come into that wealth and power and fame and beauty, we don't mind. It's cool. Yeah, it's like, you know.
One thing, we're not vegetarians, we're Krishnatarians.
Yeah, that's the point. So that's why sometimes is that devotees are preaching, yeah, we made them vegetarian. The point is but do they chant? Oh, we're working on that. We don't want to introduce it too quickly, you know, like that. You know, like that, isn't it? You know. So it's that's the difficulty is what's really of value in Krishna consciousness is missed. And these other things, the forms, are of value because those are the natural expressions of the mood of devotion. Right? What we call tradition is what is the natural forms that the great devotees use to express their devotion. That's called tradition. But we'll take tradition means something old and archaic because it doesn't matter actually what it is because it's just always changing. But that's the material perspective. So to say, oh, that was, you know, we could do that back in the 60s, you can't do that now, that's purely material. I mean, 101%. You know, it doesn't have any reality to it. Like that. Detail you may adjust. You know? Like that. You know, you may, you know, change the presentation. You know, you're not just going to sit there and go, I mean, man, you know what I mean, man? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, do you know what I mean, man? You won't use that one. Okay, that worked in the 60s. But you'll adjust it, you know, to a little bit more. You know, you got to seem a little bit more cool and everything like that, you know. But the principle is that you're trying to communicate, that never changes. Humans don't change. Animals, air doesn't change. Water, all this, nothing changes. It's complete, total illusion that time changes. One of the things I was really shocked about is in a few different readings of things, there's a consistent element if you're dealing, means if you get into the area where it's being defined about the middle class. The up-and-coming middle class. They always mention the up-and-coming middle class. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions it. So this would be early 1900s. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about it in the mid-1800s. You know, this emerging middle class, then they have, you know, they're more enamored, you know, more absorbed in the material things. They're not so interested in religious things and God consciousness. You know, people that are educators of that age are saying, you know, the students, they don't know, respect the teachers and things like that. Like that. If you go back, they're talking about this in, you know, in the Middle Ages. You know, like this, that this emerging middle class, because when there's peacetime, there's a middle class. If there's no peacetime, there's no middle class. You know. So whenever there's peace, there's always an emerging middle class, you know, until there's, you know, some war catastrophe, and then it disappears, and then it emerges. So this idea that this emerging middle class, you know, has money and has education and all that, it's a new thing, phenomena that never happened before. So we can't apply all those old archaic Vedic concepts. No, it's always an emerging middle class. Why did the Senate kill what's his name? Caesar. Because he was supporting that emerging middle class. And it was coming up and taking power. And they wanted to retain the old power of the old, you know, the old senators, you know, for generations they had been in that time. It's the same thing. You know, the Greeks had the same thing. It's always been there. So this idea that it's something new, something special and all that, you know, it's so sad that, and the ones that fall prey to it the most are the ones that are supposedly intelligent. Or at least, you know, identify themselves as intelligentsia. So this idea has always been there. You always have that. You know, it's like now it's a new thing, the new age. Now the only reason you hear about it is because they don't burn you at the stake for it. Otherwise, new age was always there. You know? And then before that, actually it seems to be a Christian problem. Because new age was standard lifestyle for everyone on the planet till the Christians came along. And then, you know, they kind of like snuffed that. You know, and then when it, you know, rose again, then you get burnt at the stake, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So this idea that there's something new, that's not at all, you know, it's not a, yeah. New Age was like popular in the 1930s. But amongst the intelligentsia, it had already been there, you know, before that 150 years, where you dabble in the Oriental kind of culture and philosophies and that. So, I mean, it's always been around, but the devotees deal with it as if they just bumped into, you know, some of these things. It just happened now. You know, it's kind of like, you know.
And it is a fact about Christianity, because there used to be mysticism in their theology, and they, I mean, over the decades and the
Well, it didn't work out so well with them.
I know, they just did a lobotomy on their whole, you know, body of philosophy.
Well, they did a lobotomy by somebody got burnt at the stake, or that would have been the alternative. Like that. So it means that you could probably say that they have crushed more varieties of philosophy than they've, you know, sanctioned. You could most likely say that. Like that. Therefore, you have Christians in India and you have Christians in America. Because they were getting away from the church. Christian means the Christian, the first thing, they were all in America, you know, the black, this, that. But the first ones came to India. There are Christians that have been here for 2,000 years. Like that. Small group. Like that. There's also, when the Inquisition came up, then there's Jews that are here from that time. Like that. So it's a particular group of Christians. Like that. That's not you know, particularly, you know, was authorized. I think they've been acknowledged for the last, you know, some time. But they were also a group that was persecuted. Like that. I'm not sure what was the group, but maybe you hear Gonauts, but I'm not sure. So the point is that we have the idea by the material vision to see the form and action as the as the reality. But it's not. It's the actual desire that manifests that form. So, in the spiritual world, they have the mood to serve Krishna. But because it's to serve Krishna, then the manifestation of the forms and activities are actually real. The conditioned living entity, he has a desire to taste these various kinds of exchanges, but they're not in connection to Krishna. So the external potency manifests them, but they're not real, they're not alive. I mean, Mother Jashoda, you know, how you say, the form of Mother Jashoda is Mother Jashoda. But here the form of the mother is not the mother. The mother is the soul, who's identifying with the body. Does that make sense? So that's why it's a reflection. And then we have, because the whole mood is that to enjoy rather than in the spiritual world, to taste that particular exchange is for Krishna's pleasure. Well, here we want to chase that exchange for our pleasure. Right? So then because of that illusion, then the mode of ignorance is prominent, then the element of laziness comes up. So that's why the Shastra is always talking about endeavor. It's always about activity. It's never about sitting back. Right? You know, unless it's meaning about not being engaged materially, but it doesn't say to not be engaged spiritually. That's the Mayavadis. They say that. And then, as we discussed here, the Purusha element, that we think that I've done something once, now I can sit back and enjoy the results, because I've been the catalyst to this ongoing, you know, activity that'll keep going forever. And so what we're actually doing is recognizing that we're not the actual cause of the results. Right? We're just a catalyst, or we're just involved in it. But we want to take the credit of getting the results. You know? Because if we say, oh, you didn't actually do that, the most, no, then it's no, I did it. But if it's wrong, no, I didn't actually do it. Like that, you know, you've heard the story of the man who killed the cow?
No.
No? I think probably tells the story. So there was this man, he killed this, he had this garden, and he was really into his garden. And so many nice flowers and arrangements and all that. And this cow came into the garden and was eating his, you know, the garden. So he'd kick it out and then he'd come back, kick it out. So one day he became so angry he killed the cow and then buried it in some place in the garden. So like that. Now he had his, you know, his life went, you know, no cow eating his flowers and all that. And then when the time of death came, then the Yamadutas came and said, you know, okay, you know, like that. And he said, why? What's the problem? Why? You know, like that. I've been a good man, you know, like that. You know, look at my garden, right? You know, like that. He says, no, but you killed the cow. He says, no, that wasn't me. He says, the soul is, you know, is not involved in these things, but it's just that the body does all these things. That, you know, he's quoting the Shastra. And so it wasn't me that killed the cow. It's the modes of nature that killed the cow. So why should I be, you know, blamed for this act that I was only, you know, just a witness to, right? And so then the Yamadutas became bewildered, right? You know, because they're forefathers, they're not philosophers, you know, they're pious people. So then they went back to Yamaraj, and he said, okay, where's the guy? And he says, no, but he said all these things. Yamaraj says, okay, come with me, you know? So then they all get there. So Yamaraj takes this nice form and then kind of wanders into the garden, and he's admiring the flowers and all these different things and the arrangements. And he comes, then he sees the guy and says, oh wow, he says, you know, what is this? He goes, do you know anything about this garden? It's such a nice garden. I mean, you know, who made this garden? And he said, and the man said, oh, I made this garden. He says, really? No, couldn't that? Look at these arrangements, all these flowers here, these roses. So wonderful and all that. I mean, how could that? You know, it's like it came from heaven. No, I did that. I did that. My own hands. No, you can. Now, what about these creepers? How it goes? And this. He just goes on and on. And the guy, no, it's me. You know, like this and that. And then he says, you know, and what about over here? This and that. Like that. No, yeah, no, I did it all. And he said, and who killed the cow? So, like that. You know, so the guy had nothing to say. So he got
Who's following you?
Yeah. So like that. We also tend to use the philosophy for our own purpose. Like that. Not that the point isn't correct, but its application isn't being properly applied. Like that. Is that something? Okay. So the point is Krishna consciousness is active in every sphere. Because here is that we look for Krishna in the positive quality, the superior quality. All the other things are following that as, you know, the just slowly going down. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, what they serve at Joe's, you know, greasy spoon, like that, means it's a reflection of what is food, right? You know, so it has those components like that. So does that make sense? So it's just, but there is such a thing as real food, you know, like that.
Okay. Like an ambassador.
Yeah, like an ambassador, you know, like that. Yeah, calling that a car. Yeah. Oh, Sana Prita. Okay, now 7:10. So this was 13 through 17. So okay, so we're giving the whole list of this. Son of Peter, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. Explain, giving Vedic evidence, how Krishna is the maintainer of everything. So Krishna is the source of everything. He is the root. As the root of a tree maintains the whole tree, Krishna, being the original root of all things, maintains everything in this material manifestation. Right? So this is how he is the root of it, so he's maintaining it all. But now these other manifestations are only because of the taste of the living entity. Right? In the spiritual world, then that maintenance of all the different forms and facilities is on the highest standard. Because the devotees just want to please Krishna, so it's the best what can be you know is available, right? And that's their taste. But in the material world, because it's not for Krishna, you know, a few may have that taste of that higher element, but most have more. It goes down and down and down. Of the 400,000 human species, only a few of them are civilized, right? So civilized means they follow the Vedic culture. So in the Vedic culture, you see, you know, as close as you can get to the standards of life, you know, in this and lifestyle of the spiritual world. Right? So that means most the tastes are lower than that, right? And so that just means there's enough piety to keep them in the human form, but their tastes are borderlining on the animal, right? And then you have those that act like animals, so they have those tastes. So there's that manifestation. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. I say, you know, it's just like, you know, the pig eats stool, but then, you know, human beings, generally speaking, aren't going to do that. So, but you have to find something that would be close enough to give you that kind of a thing. Therefore, you know, the Limburger cheese was, you know, created.
Huh?
Yeah, like this, you know. So it's like that, you know. So it has these things that it's, you know, it's really, really funky, right? You know, like that. Yeah. So you understand the principle. So, but the root of it is Krishna. The principle of taste is Krishna, not just whether it's human taste, or it's devotional taste, or whether it's animal taste. That's all. But the root of taste is Krishna. This is also confirmed in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. He is the prime eternal among all eternals. He is the supreme living entity of all living entities. And he alone is maintaining all life. So when he says all life, he means all. You know, because we'll look at it in that kind of sentimental, you know, religious kind of way. Yes, it's all, it's this and that. But when we say, what about this? No, not that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that, you know. It's like, what do you call it? You know, if you accept the Lord, then you'll be saved, like that, you know. So okay, but you know, so the Jews are also accepting, you know. So are the, you know, the Buddhists. No, they're not. That's not going to work. You know, you got to be Christian. Okay, great. So all these Christians, no, you have to be this denomination.
Yeah.
Like that, because according to Christianity, one denomination, the other denomination is going to hell. Even though they've accepted Jesus and all this and that, they're going to hell. You know what I'm saying? So this is the funny thing, you know, because you don't take the glass and you wash it in the way before putting the wine like they do. You know? That's all. So
major mistake.
Huh? Major mistake. Yeah, major mistake. So does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, I never figured that out. It's kind of like the... Where it comes from, the Jewish, you wash the glass before the ceremony, but the Catholics, they wash it during the ceremony. I haven't quite figured that out. You know, it's very important. That makes all the difference.
Just to show everybody that it's clean.
Yeah, of course. Of course I washed it. You don't believe me? I'll wash it right now. And then that becomes part of the ritual. Okay.
Like the cat under the basket.
Yeah, the cat under the basket. One cannot do anything without intelligence. And Krishna also says that he is the root of all intelligence. So to do anything requires intelligence. Right? Mm. Like that. So the point is that he's the intelligence of the intelligent. So he's what makes intelligence work. So that's the point is, all these key points you can find anywhere in anything. That's why Krishna mentions this particular group of them. In fact, he does it like three times. Right? You get in the 7th chapter, 10th chapter, 11th chapter. Right? So this is all 7. No, excuse me. Well, that's 7. Why is this 13? Yeah, this is 7th. And then there'll be 13th chapter. Oh, okay, I didn't see the thing up. 7, 8 through 11, and then 13, 13 through 17. Unless a person is intelligent, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because you have to be able to discern what's matter and what's spirit. That's the whole point. But the point is that matter is still coming from Krishna. Right? But it's inferior spirit. Right? So when we say matter and spirit, then we're talking about the inferior spirit has been manifest in a particular way for the inferior taste of the superior infinitesimal living entity. Does that make sense? But ultimately it's the Supreme Lord. He is the Lord of both of them. Right? So he is what makes it work. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. So in the strength itself being manifest, that's what it is. That passion and desire, that's added by the living entity. Right? So then you'd have to take that in as another thing. But that's strength. So it's strength being used in a noble sense, you know, or in its pure sense. Like that. Sex life, not contrary to religious principles. The point is that sex life somehow or another amazingly produces children. Like that. So therefore, the concept is this Ben being used to please Krishna by producing a child that can be raised in Krishna consciousness. Then it's not a problem. Right? You know, the brahmacharis may have a problem with this concept that, you know, they, you know, how the grihastha that can be Krishna conscious. But Krishna here is saying, he says, I am. Right? In the other place where he talks about, I am the cause of, you know, sexual engagement as Cupid. Like that. He doesn't say he is the sexual activity. He says he's the cause of it. You understand? There's a difference. Right? Because the one, the quality is not good. The other, the quality, it may be same activity. But the consciousness of the one is according to religious principles. The other one is not. So therefore. 13:13. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Is that a comma or a period? Oh, okay. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Right? So the cause and effect is the Maya's application of the modes of nature, taking the material world and means the material energy and transforming it into all the shapes and forms and activities that go on. So Brahman is beyond that. So that means actually material energy is even beyond that. Because this is just a manifestation, in particular, according to the modes of nature, according to our desire. But the material energy as a substance is beyond that.
That's the Pradhan.
Yes, it would be Pradhan. But so it's beyond, but that's Brahman. Right? But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the illusion. It's here. It exists. These are real. But the idea that I'm going to enjoy this, that's not real. Right? But it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes real. Right? That's the reality. How can one relish the nectar of life, and what are the two kinds of Brahman? What is the difference between them? Okay, so nectar of life. By knowledge of the... knower, where is that? Oh, down at the bottom. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the supersoul, one can relish the nectar of life. Okay, so Prabhupada says, just so easily, just one sentence. This is what we're talking about, is that's the idea of trying to learn, how to think, how to express, the reason that, essays are so short is that one learns to be able to get down to the essential points and say it very clearly, like that. So, knowledge of the knower, and that means both the soul and the supersoul, because the soul knows, but in a small way, and the supersoul knows in a unlimited way. Right? So, yeah. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. Right? So notice he makes these out as two different points. They're connected, but he says when he was born means, when he was his first, first... form within the material energy. Nor, it says, when the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So it's two different aspects. Same principle, but two different aspects. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms this. Na jayate mriyate va vipaschit, Katha Upanishad. 1:2:18. I think the rest of the verse is exactly the same, just that it uses, instead of kadachin, it uses vipaschit. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. Because of chit, yes.
Whereas one schism from ISKCON says that the jiva falls from the Brahma Jyoti.
Falls from the Brahma Jyoti.
And comes to the material world to learn how to perform sacrifice for Vishnu. That's what they say. But then Prabhupada says back to Godhead.
Back to Godhead, yes. So that's the whole point. Is do we want to take Prabhupada's idea or their mundane idea that their intelligence is not purified enough to be able to understand a chintamedi-medi tattva? That's, in other words, they're very intelligent on the mundane platform, but spiritual intelligence, at least on this point, is lacking, to a great degree. Because the point is Brahman is what? God's Brahman. God's manifest in four manifestations. Himself, his internal potency, external, and jiva. All of that's Brahman. So that's the whole cause of manifestation. So saying we're falling from Brahman, what does that mean? So they can't even define Brahman. You know what I'm saying? And the liberated platform means tatastha, means it's not in the spiritual world and not in the material world. How do we define the Brahman in general usage? What's in between the spiritual world and the material world? You understand? It's very simple points is not appreciated. Like that. So the element is that Brahman is simply what's not spiritual and what's not transcendental and what's not material, but it's spiritual. But the point is now, if we understand this from what we're discussing, devotional service, is devotional service the form and the activity, or is devotional service the attitude? It's the attitude. So now here's the point that comes that they can't understand. Right? So therefore we'll say it's a less intelligent approach. Is that one can be on the spiritual platform with form, but not have the devotional mood. So that means you're situated in Brahman. Does that make sense? So that's right there is the limit of their intellectual ability. Because they're saying is that if it's Brahman, there can never have been any form. But this is Mayavad philosophy. It's Mayavad. It's not anything less. You know what I'm saying? So all it is they can't accept the point that we were foolish enough to have the opportunity to develop love for Krishna and we didn't. Right? The other party saying that we were in love of God and fell from there, they've missed the point also. But at least they're in their mind, they're supporting the Acharya here. So they're better situated. Does that make sense?
They say we have had love with God, and then...
Some do. That's what the contention is you have two parties arguing over both what they're presenting is wrong. You know, it's just like saying, 2 + 2 = 5. No, it's 7. No, it's 5. No, I'm going to get it. Like that. And then it's like, you know, what are we dealing with here? They both don't know what they're talking about. The point is for the one is, you can't fault, you know, both parties, means in both parties, the spiritual world exclusively means Goloka. Neither party acknowledges that Boma Vrindavan, the Boma Leela, is non-different from the spiritual world. But you do have demons and you do have people that are not that absorbed in Krishna. You know, you do have those in a spiritual form, in their sarup, and don't take advantage of Krishna consciousness. It's right there in Krishna book. But neither party catches that. So one tries to say, no, it's from Golok. But then the Acharyas say you can't fall from Golok. So then they'll say, see, we're saying what the Acharyas are saying. Says, no, but Prabhupada said we were with Krishna and fell from there. But in both of them, they're arguing that it's Goloka. But that's why I say, 2 + 2 = 5 or 7. No, Boma Leela, that's the Tathasta place. Goloka is not Tathasta. Boma is. You have the material and you have the spiritual. And you have those who are descended. They're dealing on the transcendental platform. You have the demons and all that. They're purely on the material platform. And then you have those in the middle that are trying to develop love of God or, not. Right? The husbands of the yogic Brahmins, Krishna came to them and asked for stuff. Did they give anything? No. Are they in the spiritual world? Right. So, there's an example. They're neutral. And then when they found out their wives became pure devotees, they were saying they're so fortunate, we're so unfortunate, but did they surrender? No. So they're still neutral. That's the point. You fall from that position. You could have taken it up, but you don't. So the jiva is dependent, so he either has to be under the spiritual or under the material. He can't function independently. So as soon as it's not leaning towards the spirit, the transcendental, then it takes on the qualities of the material. Right? The Sarup Shakti deals with you either as Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. That makes sense? Do you understand it? So in other words, it's all these points that are being made by the Acharyas that create the difficulties in understanding. So that these kind of mistakes are made. But we can see these mistakes are material. Right? Means we'll get really into analyzing them next year. Right? Means what are all the variety of material concepts on both the you know, the you know, mental and the intellectual platform, like that, because, you know, now we understand the principle, and there we'll get into exact detail of, you know, how they manifest, and then you can see is that they're just manifesting this philosophy, like there, it's Mayavad, because you can't be in the spiritual world and fall down, so that you can't have a form, you know, so Brahman means is that there's no form. It's just Mayavad philosophy. That's right. So one's coming from karma, one's coming from jnana. That's all. So karma and jnana are fighting with each other. And that's and we're supposed to take it seriously. It's got anything to do with reality. You know? But of the two parties, we'll take the side on jnana. I mean, of karma over the jnana. Because they're saying, you know, Prabhupada's saying we fell from the spiritual world. They don't understand how. They don't understand what that means. But at least they're accepting that the acharya said. Well, the other ones are saying, no, but Jiva and the other acharyas before. But you can't approach the previous acharyas without your acharya. So even though they're quoting the acharyas very nicely, and they're correct on that point, but they're totally wrong in that they're not approaching Jiva Goswami through their own acharya. They're using Jiva Goswami against Prabhupada. That will never be tolerated. So there's no question that they're even engaged on the spiritual platform. Right? They just are an illusion thinking they are. But they're not actually performing devotional service. Devotional service, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear, you have to approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. And they don't do that, therefore it's not actually devotional service. So at least the ones performing devotional service, but they don't really know that technical points, and it's not a big deal because it's not a topic of discussion. But the other party is that they've missed the whole point. You know, intellectually very developed, but devotionally basically nothing. Does that make sense?
What would be the reason that we get distracted, not choose to develop the knowledge?
Well, why do we get distracted?
Why don't we develop it? Use that opportunity.
It's taste. It's just a matter of interest. Why haven't you become a pure and alloyed devotee already? You can't do it, but you haven't. Why not? There's other things, you know. Life's great. Life is beautiful. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's all. We're just distracted. Look at it. It means the spiritual world, not... We have a problem. The material world is a problem, right? Okay? Heavenly planets is better. So how good will the spiritual world be?
Good.
Yeah? It'll be good. There is nothing wrong there. Right? So now, if you get distracted about how nice it is being in the spiritual world, then what does that mean? You're not absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So you have your family, you have your duties, and you do them all, and you do them all nicely. Right? So you're a pious person. But the interest to that taste to develop love for Krishna is not there. It's dormant, but you're not taking advantage. So then you're not... But so you're enjoying being in the spiritual world. So you're not actually dealing with the transcendental realm. Right? It means the elements that are there are made out of internal potency. But the control of it is being done by the external potency. Because you're seeing it as something separate from Krishna. Right? Because it goes both ways. Just like the devotee here, who's fully absorbed in Krishna, the elements that he deals with are made out of external nature, but he's working under the internal potency. Does that make sense? So the point is it's not whether you have a spiritual body or a material body, it's what you do with it. The important, we take it just like we take... I did this service. The service, the mechanics of the service itself is the devotion. No, it's the mood in which you engage the mechanics that therefore makes the combination the devotion. So in the same way, we'll say, I have a spiritual body, therefore I am devotional. Or I have a material body, therefore it's not. So that's why we have problem, right? It, with the acharyas appear in the world in a material form. The body's made by the elements of the external potency, but it's fully under the control of yoga maya, the internal potency. So it's your consciousness that defines whether you're under the control of the internal potency or external potency, not whether your body is material or spiritual. So that's the thing. You can have your spiritual form, but be under the control of Mahamaya. Therefore, when that body ends, then you come here. Just like when this body ends and you're absorbed in Krishna, you'll go there. You know, but we say, no, it can't be like that. Why not? Because of Mayavad philosophy, that spiritual can't be anything like what's here. No, this is the reflection. Why it won't be the same, right? In the mirror, you have a nice nose. So in reality, your nose should be different, right? According to Mayavad philosophy. Or even better, there's no nose. Does that make sense?
How the spiritual body will end.
How the spiritual body will end. No, it's just the time. The pastimes are over, so everyone's going to leave. So, it's not going to, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just going to be floating around there. What? So it's just kept on the side. I think Jiva Goswami gives the example of just like when you go into a place, you know, you hang up your coat, you know, at the door. So then the spiritual body is just kind of left there. You know what I'm saying? The whole process is way more personal than we want to attribute to it. We want to keep it all mystical and unknown and, you know, plenty of ignorance involved. You know what I'm saying?
Does it mean that all of Jiva's constitutional position is involved in Krishna Lila and
Okay, now where we're going? We're moving out of the fall of the Jiva into free will and predestiny.
When Prabhupada says, he says clearly we have already fixed our relationship is eternal.
Yeah, so then what's the problem?
And someday, you know, when they go back to Vaikuntha, that's their case.
Yeah, see? Free will. No, but what if I don't want that? What if I don't want the, you know, $1 billion and a mansion in every major city of the world and, you know, the top car, whatever there is in the world? What if I'd rather have, you know, an old run-down, you know, 1940s bicycle? You know what I'm saying? Well, somehow or another, this free will is always a problem. Point is, if taste changes, then the form changes. What is the form a manifestation of? Yeah. Yam kama krodha sahaja pranayadi dhiti. So it's a matter of your taste is what it is. So that's your natural taste. So therefore you have that form. You change the taste, you change the form. It's no big deal. The point is why would you change your taste? It's already perfect. You know what I'm saying? This one likes bananas, that one likes strawberries. It's not that you have to change your taste because what? No, you like that. The other one likes that. It's perfect. Does that make sense? Just thinking if that could transmorgify into something else of the other issues. Somehow, if anybody else can now take that one and get it into the Varna Ashram or something.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. How to take like that. Yeah. And we could cover all the. But no, notice the point. It's been because of time. Then, because we understand these fundamental principles, we can deal with the topic in just a few minutes. Like that. Well, previously, this would have been, just these two, this would have been 2 to 3 weeks. You know? These last year, the beginning of last year, it would have been that long. Yes?
Sorry, Maharaj, I'm not sure if I heard it correctly, but did you say that us Jivas, we didn't fall from the spirit.
Us Jivas.
Yeah.
We-ins. Us-ins. You're saying all the homeboy Jivas, did they not fall like that? You fall from the spiritual platform. But that spiritual platform is personal. But the spiritual platform means Brahman, means it's not material desire and engagement, and it's not pure love and engagement based on that. So the spiritual form is there, activities are there, but you're not seeing them in relationship to Krishna. So because of that, the place where you deal with the Lord's energy and not see it in relation to Krishna is here. You know, in other words, if you use superior energy, not in a superior way, you'll be giving given inferior energy. You know, just like, you know, the opportunity is there to cook, so nice kitchen, nice facilities are there, and you do a bad job with it, then they'll give you won't get that kitchen again. You'll get another kitchen, another facilities, you know. Does that make sense? That's what we're saying. One can't tell which it is, because it sounds like both. Because the thing is both have points that are correct, but they don't know how to apply that point in its completeness. You know what I'm saying? So they're taking truths, but only able to apply them to half of the equation. You know, and one does one side of the equation, one does the other side of the equation, but neither of them can complete the whole equation. Therefore, they're arguing with each other.
You mentioned that some people like the Yajic Brahmins or whatever, they were neutral somewhere, even in Imkali demons somewhere, not so favorable to Krishna. Can it happen only in one thing happen? Because in Goloka, Krishna won't be tolerating?
It's not that Krishna won't be tolerating that there's these varieties of lack of absorption, you know, it means that anything below prema, it's that the internal potency won't tolerate it. It's not possible. That's why Jiva makes it very sad. You can't fall from Goloka. Because there only those on the platform of prema. Once you're in prema, then no one will fall. But before prema, you can fall. You know what I'm saying? You know, but being in material conscious, that's already fallen. So Prabhupada's point is you can't fall from Brahman, meaning Brahma Jyoti, because Brahma Jyoti, being for the Jiva to be in Brahma Jyoti is already a fallen situation. So you can't say that's the neutral position, the Tathasta position of choice. That's why that one, to pursue that in that one just doesn't have any basis at all, because they can't define Brahman. They're looking at Brahman as simply meaning Brahma Jyoti. But Brahman means the spiritual quality of everything. Right? Now, whether you deal with that spiritual quality in relation to Krishna, then we call it transcendental. If you deal with that spiritual quality not related to Krishna, we call it illusion or mind.
What would be the neutral state if it's not Brahman?
We mentioned is that you're dealing with the spiritual energy, but that idea that it should be in relationship to Krishna, you know, and trying to dynamically move forward is not that important. It's just like, what is the situation it mentions of those gopis who didn't go to the Rasa dance? They're in the house, and what are they absorbed in?
Krishna.
They think about Krishna.
No, those are the ones that went.
No, they were Krishna.
Yeah, but what does it say they were absorbed in? These are the things we don't... Their duties, taking care of the children of the house, doing like that. So they're distracted by that. It's not that there's not... Because the point is it's the nature of the jiva to have love for Krishna. But it's not that prominent. You know what I'm saying? What? I mean, someone's... If you take a neophyte devotee, we'll say they're a devotee. Why? Because they have an interest to develop, you know, love and things like that. But why do we call them neophyte? Because they're distracted so much. Does that make sense? But we'll say there's one serious at the Madhyama platform. Because then one is trying to deal very dynamically to avoid distraction. Not that distraction isn't there, but one's intent is not to be distracted. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's not that that idea of Krishna and all that's not there. But the thing is it's not the prominence. So if it's more prominent towards Krishna, less towards that, then, you know, if it's the most, then when Krishna plays a flute, they'll go and get that eternal, that association. If not, then they'll be stopped. But then in being stopped, they completely absorb themselves in Krishna. They come to the platform of samadhi, right, in Smarana Dasa, and that qualifies them to go to Apandas, where they'll have that association, right? And be able to interact with Krishna. Right? Now, there's those that it's even less than that. So if you're neutral towards Krishna, then you won't be able to maintain in the spiritual world, because as we said, you can't remain just in the middle. Right? Middle is just a moment from going from one side to the other. Right? So for the devotee coming from the material world, then that is just a moment going through that stage of liberation until he gets to the point of that purva rag, that full attachment to Krishna. And then it just moves on to prema. Right? But if you're going the other way, it's there, the opportunity, but you're not taking it. And so there's that moment where it's in between. And then one is, you know, comfortable and happy being situated within the spiritual realm, but not looking at it in connection to Krishna. So then technically one's actually working under Maya. Does that make sense? So then one will then, you know, then come here as Lord Brahma. Does that make sense? Because it's just like, let's say you have a family. They're in the same house, same activity, right? You know, one member of the family is really absorbed in Krishna and being up this and that, and someone else is wondering, you know, keeps looking at their phone, wondering if the boyfriend's going to send a message and all that, and, you know, keeps looking and all that. And, like, you know, what are you looking at? No, I'm looking at nothing. Like this, you know what I'm saying? So what's going on there? But they're doing spiritual activities. You know what I'm saying? So the point is since prema means full absorption, you know, so someone who's interested in that, though they don't have it, will get the association of the eternal associates. And by their association, you'll develop that intense desire. Right? Does that make sense? But if one doesn't have, one doesn't get the association. What would you say means just in connection with this? Do we see this is a major difference between someone who we say is nicely situated in Krishna consciousness and someone who's not? The difference being is how much do they associate with devotees. Right? The one is that when you come to the temple on Janmashtami night for prasad, you can't avoid, you know, devotees. But if you kind of could and go around the back and just get some prasad and just take darshan and sneak out, that would be great. You know? But for others, it's being around devotees that is the important element. So that's why you consider the one more advanced than the other. So it's the association of devotees that makes everything work. That's why it's always meant. So even on the spiritual platform, what makes it work? On the transcendental platform, what makes things work? So the whole process is simply the jiva associating with devotees serving Krishna. That's the whole process. Right? Does that make sense? So you have a connection there, so you have guru. Right? And then there's a line of authority, because that service at one point gets directly connected to Krishna. So that's the head of that whole line. So that's where all these different things come in. But what it is, it's just the jiva assisting the, you know, devotees serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
Shanta platform.
Shankya.
Shanta. No.
Shanta, okay.
Like the four Kumaras, right. They were situated in the Kuta only.
Yeah.
Narada Muni.
Narada Muni also. No, he's servitorship.
Not Shanta.
No, he's servitorship. Four Kumaras are Shanta. Sukadeva Goswami is Shanta. So it means they can be in any pastime, but they will appreciate particular qualities. So they have a natural situation in a particular pastime.
And then Sukadeva Goswami speaking the Bible.
Yeah.
The highest process being himself in the Shanta platform.
Is that a problem?
I don't know if there is any important. Like if you appreciate something more than anything else, how will you put the effort, my life in itself so different from your point of view?
You're appreciating the quality of it. It's just like this. You weren't involved in it. It didn't happen to you. And you definitely wouldn't be involved in it. But you can really get down to real details about some juicy gossip talking to someone else. Right? Right. So that's the point, is that it doesn't mean that appreciation simply means that you're involved. Did we scare you off with gossip or something?
She just remembered something about her friend.
Does that make sense? So the point is okay, Sukadev Goswami is who?
Parrot.
A parrot. And whose parrot? Radharani's parrot. So does that mean that they're around for all their pastimes? Right? And now it's like this. If intimate pastimes are going on, you're going to have a problem if there's another human being there, right? But if there's a parrot there, do you care? No. So that means they see things and know things that even the others don't know. So the others hear from the parrot what's going on. You understand? Means in the morning when the gopis get up, then the parrots are sitting there talking about what happened last night in the kunj. And so then they'll all gather around to hear what the parrots are talking about.
They're being neutral means because they're parrots or because they're...
No, they're neutral, therefore... They're parrots. You understand? Trees, parrots, cows, grass, you know, that's all Shantaras.
Even after seeing so many things that...
But there's Sandini potency. You know what I'm saying? Sandini potency, that's what Sandini is. It's the existence. No, but he would be, it means we haven't necessarily said he's a jiva. You know what I'm saying? All the cows, it's not that they're all jivas. They can be manifestations of the Sandini potency for the pastime. You know what I'm saying?
Like stage props.
They're conscious and they have their affection for Krishna and they can move around on their own. You know, every Broadway director's dream.
tree, left a bit.
Yeah. No, this is even, they can just understand beforehand and move over. That's good.
Those are the ones that bend down.
No, that's vaudeville.
What?
That's vaudeville. Vaudeville? They could be either. Doesn't matter. They could be jivas. Means they're jivas situated within the internal potency, but this specific aspect, technically, they're functioning under the Sandini. Like that. Does that make sense? So the Sandini potency deals with all the devotees that are in Shantaras because it's existence. Like that. The Sambit deals with all devotees in servitorship, friendship, and parental. Right? And Vladini then is dealing with Kanja. Does that make sense? But the point is on that platform, no one makes any distinction.
Means they don't say one is better than the other?
They don't say one's better than the other. No, but it's just you don't just need to distinguish. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's all about Krishna.
Yeah, so you don't need to distinguish. You know, it's not that. You know, each aspect is, you know, it's like that, you know, okay, I'm making the chance of this, you know, the more the passion is here because it's, you know, the mode is working that because we're creating something here, and but now I throw in the vegetables, so that's a further thing, but then now I'm just stirring the vegetables, so now it's more the mode of goodness is working here like this and that, and then, you know, I turned around and bumped and some of it fell on the floor, that was the mode of ignorance, so then like that, you know, so it's that you don't do like that.
That's what we do. That's what we do, analyze. And
no, you analyze when you're trying to see, but when you're actually relating with a person, you're not doing that. As soon as you go, as soon as you bring those out, hey, we're doing this, it's kind of like, ooh, I gotta go.
Look at the time.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, analyzation is for when one's contemplating, but interaction, there's no analyzation. You know, I mean, you use your intelligence to deal with the situation in its present moment, but that's called the mode of goodness because that's where knowledge is applied, right? But in the relationship, analyzation is not there. Analyzation is used to understand everything like that, so that when you do interact, you'll do so with at a better quality. Does that make sense? Okay. The living entities are eternally. The living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahma, as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So within Brahman, there is variety, just like in the Vedic grammar. Like when we say here, we'll say Brahman, right? But in the Sanskrit grammar, when the verses, because you have the swaras change, whether it's Brahman meaning the Supreme, Brahman meaning Brahma, or Brahman meaning just the unmanifest. It has three different way the swaras are, so you can tell. The swaras means the note, what note it's on. Like, you know, one will be Brahma, one will be Brahma, like this, and things like this, so they have different. And there's two of them are short, and then one has a long syllable, like that. So that all comes from grammar. Like that. Yes. No, this Vijnana is the soul.
Brahmajyoti
is called Brahmajyoti.
Which Brahma is that?
Brahmajyoti Brahma.
Is the fifth one or like the Supreme Personality of Godhead Brahma?
Yeah, but the Brahmajyoti is the effulgence of the Lord, so it's counted as part of the Lord. Brahmete paramatmete bhagavaniti. But when we think of Brahman, then naturally you just think of that. Like if we say Shakti, then one just thinks of Durga. But Shakti just means energy. Does that make sense? You know, so or we say Tantra, then we think of, you know, Shakta worship. But Tantra just means ritual. You know what I'm saying? So we're used to it being applied in certain ways. But the term can be applied specifically, but it also has this generic usage. Does that make sense? So here Prabhupada is giving, you know, the Jnana Brahman and Ananda Brahman. Like that.
So Brahmajyoti is Ananda
Brahman? Yeah, it's an aspect of Ananda Brahman. Because someone can be on the platform of Anandamai, but only understand the Brahman element or the Paramatma element. But the real situation of Anandamai is to understand the personality of Godhead, you know, which includes the other two.
So the impersonalists, they go to the Brahmajyoti.
That's the theory.
So they are under which Maya, Yogamaya or Mahamaya?
Mahamaya. Because Yogamaya means it's connected to Krishna as a person. And Mahamaya means it's anything else. because they're not acknowledging that the Brahman is Krishna. For the devotee, he deals with Brahman, he's dealing with Yogamaya. But for the impersonalist, because he thinks there is no personality, therefore it's Maya. Yes.
So Yogamaya is about relationship.
Yogamaya is about relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And relationship not connected to the Lord, that's Mahamaya.
Okay, right.
Does that make sense? So it all comes down to relationship. Mm. That's why the first point of discussion is Sambandha Gyan, relationship. Because it's all about relationship, understanding the relationship, acting in the relationship, and the result of that, or the experience of acting in that relationship. So it's all about relationship, but the point is that relationship with Krishna or not? Right? And then if it's not, we can say, okay, is it with, you know, living entities, or is it with dead matter? But technically, even the living entities, you're interacting with the dead matter. But, you know, there's some, you know, conscious interaction. Yes?
So I just
kind of
understand correctly. So we all have an eternal relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And at one point, we became envious somehow.
Yes.
Like, is that eternal relationship that we have, like,
No, it means the Sarupa is revealed when you're on the liberated platform. It means to function within Bhava Bhakti, then you're in your Sarupa, either directly by you've left your thought of Krishna, left your body, go to where Krishna's pastimes are, and then you're in your Sarupa. Or here you've come to that point of liberation while within this body, and through meditation, you're in your Sarup, and you're part of the pastimes.
Does that mean that Sarup is the same as the one we had before we left?
Yes. Yes.
So we have like a personal direct relationship with Krishna.
You have the potential of it, but it's not a matter you take advantage of it. Just like, let's say, that you have the father. He's a big, you know, big, very rich, very powerful, very influential. He has a son. Now the son naturally is going to take over the business and all that and take up that same position. So he can, if he has that interest, then it moves forward very nicely. But if he doesn't have that interest, does he get everything? No. And generally what happens? Does that son hang around? Or he generally leaves. Does that make sense? So the potential is there. When the baby is born, the natural propensity is to love the mother. Right? But it's still, until that interaction is there, it doesn't develop.
Does that mean that we pretty much are eternal, so there's not like a beginning, but I'm trying to understand how at that point we've pretty much been always born right in Krishna.
Basically. But the point is that the opportunity is there to take advantage of it. We don't take advantage of it, so you know, you're given that lifetime to get it together. And if you don't, then you come here. And if you do, you go there. So 9 out of 10 living entities, you know, choose to go towards Krishna. And 1 out of 10, I don't know if you call them the winners or the losers, but, you know, but here we are. You know. The point is that we have a natural relationship, you know. So any other alternative, being part of the material, endeavor, or being part of, you know, liberation, these aren't natural to the living entity. Developing love for Krishna is the nature. So if that's the interest, then we try to cultivate devotion to Krishna. That means when we come to that position again, we will progress towards Krishna. Because that's the mistake last time. We didn't take it seriously, so we didn't progress towards Krishna. We came this side. But now when you go back to that position, then you can progress towards Krishna. You know what I'm saying? That's why it says you can fall from that platform. It says the Uttamadhikari can fall. It doesn't mean the Uttamadhikari in the platform of Prema. It's the Uttamadhikari in the platform of Bhava. So that's how Bharat Maharaj fell. You know, so it means all good intention, but he got too distracted by the deer. Not that he wasn't seeing the deer on the Brahman platform, but still he's not thinking of Krishna, he's thinking of the deer.
So does that mean the living entity in the material world as we have that much time in the spiritual world because we made that choice? I'm just trying to understand the concept of eternal.
Eternal is eternal, means you've always been around. But the point is, so in other words, you can understand you've been here a long time.
I think she's asking how long has she been in the spiritual world.
The point is you're in that, you appear in that environment, and so as long as that pastime runs, which generally speaking is the manifest lifetime of those involved in the pastime, then it moves on and goes to another universe. So it goes to another universe, you don't.
So one point is on the highest platform, all of you fall down. It's not just...
Once you develop prema, you won't fall down.
So we were never in.
No, that's the point. But it doesn't mean that the opportunity is not there to express that affection. But we didn't take it so seriously. You know, it's just like here. Other examples. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to do is, because we're working on the principle that if you're in that situation that is a natural situation of affection, the only thing that could be done is expressing that. But let's say you have the man, right? He's out working very hard, making money for the family. He, you know, does 12 hours of work a day. He's moving up in the company. He's thinking, yeah, when I get to this position, then I'll have plenty of time. I can sit back. I can relax. I can spend the time with the family like that. And so, you know, I need another 5 years and all that. But is he spending time with the family? So when he's in the home, does he spend the time? Right? You know, the kids say, hey, daddy, you know, come do this. Oh, I'm sorry, daddy's got to make an important phone call. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, and what's the wife thinking? What are the kids thinking?
Doesn't care.
Yeah, he's thinking he doesn't care. He's an idiot. You know, like that. You know. I mean, that's what the wife thinks. The kids don't think he's an idiot.
I just think he's an idiot.
Oh, that's another thing. That's after the 5 years.
Yeah.
When they're teenagers and he hasn't spent any time with them, then he's an idiot. You know, no matter what he does.
He doesn't understand anything.
Yeah, yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's plenty of opportunities. We're in the temple for Darshan Artik and we're worried about something else. You know, we're offering the artik and we're thinking about something else. You understand? So the point is that's what got us here, was being engaged in activities that should naturally be connected to Krishna, but not being absorbed in Krishna and not being worried about that we're not absorbed in Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's not neutral state that has nothing to do with Krishna and this and that. No, it's there, but Krishna is not the important element. You know what I'm saying? Like in that case, he'll say ultimately it's the family, but it's his job as getting the facilities, you know, for the family. So he's absorbed in facilities, but he doesn't recognize that the facilities are only there to interact with the family. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the problems that got us here are the problems that are keeping us here, and are the problems of we're not actually even having a good time here. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever you're doing, the thinking of the other thing.
I guess I always have this misunderstanding that we had like this wonderful relationship.
No, why would you leave it? That means you got to be really stupid. No, the point is you have this wonderful relationship, but you have to take advantage of it. Yeah, it's just like the father never took advantage of interacting with the family. It's all there. He could, but he doesn't. So when he wakes up to it, then he can. All it takes is waking up. That's all. It's not that, oh, but now it's lost. No, the point is we're eternal. We have that relationship with Krishna eternally. It's just, when are we going to take advantage of it? Yeah, you understand? So it doesn't lessen the whole point. It makes it more clear is that whatever got us here, we're still doing it now. And so it's the point is we're not focused. We just think, if I just kind of do the activities and all that, then automatically Krishna consciousness will happen. No, it's because you want Krishna consciousness to happen, it happens. Automatically you'll be purified and you're moving forward, but it's not necessarily that dynamic. But when you want it to move forward, that's when it becomes dynamic. So when you want, that's when it gets serious. And then one comes to the platform of getting that eternal association of the eternal associates, that brings us to the point of developing that prema. Because they have the prema. So by associating with them, we develop the prema. But we don't take that association so seriously. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like here now, so many senior devotees come through and this and that. Maybe we take advantage, maybe we don't. It's the same principle. You know, the community of devotees here, do we take advantage of the association or not? You understand? So when we're serious about taking advantage, that's when things become dynamic. And when we're not, then that's when it's neutral. When we really don't ignore it, then Maya, you know, takes over. You know what I'm saying? If you ask the devotee who comes to the temple once a year, in his mind, he's, you know, quite dynamic in devotional service. You know? You know, I come regularly to the temple, you know, once a year. He comes every year.
Every year.
Yeah, he comes every year. You know what I'm saying? In his mind, he's quite, you know, active. Does that make sense? So it's just Maya covers so much, you don't see. That's the meaning. If you don't connect it to Krishna, then you're dealing with Maya. Because you have two choices, Mahamaya, Yogamaya. It's not that there's a third choice. You know what I'm saying? The switch between the two is a moment. That's why in a moment you can become Krishna conscious. But in a moment, Maya can trick you. Does that make sense? So all it is the determination to become Krishna conscious. That's what's going to carry you through all the way to prema. You know, if that's there, you will get to prema. That's what Prabhupada says, it's automatic. But at the same time, it's being pointed out to not, you know, be distracted by Maya. Otherwise, how Maya deals is also automatic. Does that make sense? But the jiva's superior energy, they don't have to be under the control of the external energy. It's just they voluntarily put themselves there because the thought is if I interact with nature, that will make me happy. Rather than I interact with nature to please Krishna, that will make me happy. In other words, Krishna's happiness makes me happy. Because we'll say, yeah, making Krishna happy makes me happy. But I'll interact with this nature, you know, and, you know, that'll make me happy. You know, we don't connect that the two are. If you love Krishna, how do you express it? By engaging nature in his service. Why am I using the term nature? Because that can mean spiritual or material. You know what I'm saying? The one person is doing the arti to please Krishna. The other person is, you know, everybody will notice them that they're up here and they're the big pujari. So one is working under Mahamaya, one's working under Yogamaya. But the paraphernalia, everything is spiritual. But they're not getting the spiritual benefit because this internal potency, the external potency are the same person. So depending how you deal with them, you know, it's like you're talking to your friends and it's all nice and all the energies and some guys, you know, over here and hey baby, just kind of beat it. You know, they just so what was this? This was the friend. What was this? This was, you know, not so friendly. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like that. It's just how you deal is how, I mean, the same person, they can in a moment deal either way. You deal devotionally. You're dealing with Yogamaya. You deal not devotionally. You're dealing with Mahamaya. It's that simple. So it's not that, oh, it's lost, it wasn't there, and I thought this, and the romantic. No, it's still there. But now what's being pointed out is the technical details of what went wrong while you're here so that you make sure you don't do them, that'll get you back there. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Okay. Yeah?
So tomorrow There will be a meeting the students can attend with you.
Yeah, it means those who are registered students will have a short meeting tomorrow, if that's possible, like at 8 o'clock, you know, here.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I suspect that the Vedic aphorism, the living entity desires to go to heaven, and he's engaged in activities.
Yeah, that'll go there. Yeah. This means whatever you think of, you'll go there. Whatever is your interest, Krishna will give you faith there.
Yeah.
So if we have faith in him, he'll give us that faith in him and in the devotees.
And this GCC was in one state, and then by hearing about this, then she came, when will that day be mine?
Yeah, yeah. So it just naturally becomes, that's why association and hearing and chanting and all that's important, because that's what it does. It's not that it changes, it uncovers the natural thing. The point is material life is a covering. The spiritual life is the natural state. Does that make sense? So the one spiritual position, the one spiritual relationship with Krishna is just waiting there for one to come and take it back up again. You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. It's just like this. Let us say when the baby is born, what's the parent's relationship with the child? Means in a dynamic way. What's their feelings? What's that?
Affection.
Affection, right? Now, if the baby doesn't show affection back, it still doesn't change that. It's just it will with time, because the baby doesn't know what's going on. Doesn't, you know? It's they've forgotten everything, right? So they don't realize, you know, hey, here's a great opportunity to be the center of attention, right? So you know they'll figure it out within some short time, right? And these are the people that will give it to me, so they're very valuable, right? Does that make sense? No.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You understand? So the point is Krishna, he sees that relationship with the living entity. So in his mind, this is a relationship. But the point is the living entity doesn't take it up, you know, dynamically, so it doesn't fructify. You know what I'm saying? The kid is sitting around the house and just playing, doing this and that. You know, and the father's, you know, thing, he's got this big empire, and he wants to. But the day then the kid goes, you know, what's the deal, you know, how can I be involved? Then that day, bang, then that's when everything starts. So that's why it says, the super soul is just waiting for us to turn our face towards him. Then everything will be taken care of. Right? But you have to ask. Right? That's the way it works. No, we didn't even get to the footnotes, yeah. I guess that'll be on Monday.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jayanta Gaura Premana.